This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
We are doing a mid-school year check-in with a number of local leaders in the area of education, a series of programs underway often over the next couple of weeks, not every single day, but a number of interviews are scheduled. Superintendent Kimberly Kellison of the Winston-Dillard School District on right now. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Kyle. Excited to share more about the district again.
So overall, how has this school year gone for you?
Well, we're off to a great start. We've been learning a lot professionally as a group in the district. We've been really spending a lot of attention on early literacy and math instruction, and we're just making great strides, and we're having a great time learning together.
Talk about that early literacy piece and just how important you believe it is.
Well, I think this is crucial in the state of Oregon, and I'm really glad that, you know, we have the support of the legislature behind us with a, you know, $90 million investment for K-12 districts, and we're putting our money to good use with new curricular support. We're going to hire an instructional coach for next year, and so we're really excited about that grant.
And what will that enable you to do?
Well, it really enables us to give teachers more tools in their toolbox to help students with reading proficiency and with writing skill. And so, you know, really honing in on those explicit instructional methods that focus on phonics, phonemic awareness, vocabulary, comprehension, just really dialing deep into those areas so that students get the literacy and reading foundation they need.
Do you feel like that has become more of an issue with all of the technology out there that young people are exposed to?
Yeah, perhaps. I think, you know, we're trying to go back to our roots, and we're trying to talk to families about, you know, reading with students and, you know, really practicing at home. Practice at home is really important for reading. And so, you know, we have a great meeting lined up next week for parents on the 17th about being their child's most important and first teacher. And, you know, we're having dinner and a book and an author come speak to our parents about how to help students at home. And so we are trying to get back to some of those basics.
And tell us more about that and how people can get connected to it.
Yeah, there is a link on our website that we put out a couple weeks ago, but I can put the RSVP link up again. And so if anyone's interested in attending that event, I will put that on the website again today. It's next week on the 17th, and it's at 6 p.m. at Brockway Elementary. And it's going to be a great event. Dr. Rebecca Palacios will be there to talk about her book, Being Your Child's First Teacher. And so, you know, we're really trying to reach out to families and engage with them and help support them.
Do you think sometimes parents don't realize that they are really the first teacher?
Well, I don't know if they don't realize that. I think they understand that they're their child's first teacher, but there are some really direct things that they can do to help improve oral language acquisition, which is your base platform for learning how to read. And so, you know, speaking to your kids, talking to them, using, you know, adult language, academic language, those things are all really important for kids to hear. And so, you know, the more you visit with your kids and have those conversations, the better off they'll be in the classroom.
So going into the school year, did you begin any new programs in the district?
Yeah, we've got a lot of things going on. So we added a new assessment program, which is called STAR. And we added STAR because we wanted to really hone in on how our K-2 students were doing with early literacy. And so that's been a really cool addition. And it gives teachers a lot of actionable data that they can use to inform instruction. And that's really important to us.
And talk about having that data, what that enables that maybe if you don't have it available, you're not always as sure of.
Yeah, just really, data is most important to teachers when it shows them where they need to go with their instructional methods and what they're covering. And so, you know, when I was a teacher, sometimes I would look at an assessment from my student group and I'd say, wow, I need to teach that again. And so, you know, it just gives you this great data to go back and say, well, the kids didn't understand this, or they're ahead in this and I don't need to hit this again. You know, I mean, it really just tells you which direction to go as a teacher.
Any other programs you want to highlight?
Yeah, we just got the COPS grant from the Department of Justice. We learned about that in early December, and that's really exciting. It's $426,000 from the Department of Justice for the district for safety upgrades, and that is just such a blessing for us, and we're really excited about those funds coming into the district.
So specifically, what will you be able to do with that money?
Yeah, it had a very elaborate plan that had to be submitted with the grant, and it was really a detailed process, and it took a huge team at the district to put that all together. And so it focuses on crisis management, which, you know, we're redoing our crisis management plan, and it will have a component for teachers, a crisis alert system for teachers to use and staff members. So that'll be a really important addition next year, so that if we actually had a crisis in the building, they would have more immediate support for that. So we're really excited about that.
And what about anything involving, because you do have some older buildings, work for kind of the safety aspect of the way they're laid out and designed?
Yeah, that was an important part of the grant as well. So we included some controlled access door planning within the grant so that we can update our access to our buildings. And so, you know, we want to have controlled access where we know who's coming and going and have folks, you know, go through one door. And so those are really important security distinctions that sometimes get overlooked, and so we will be in the process of, you know, retrofitting doors that are not modern and modernizing them with a controlled access feature. It will not be as sophisticated as our new building at the high school has, but some of these older buildings, we are able to retrofit them and put that card access in, and the ESD has been gracious about helping out with that.
It seems like that's really a challenge in this area with kind of a mild overall climate. A lot of schools that were built decades ago are pretty open in access. And I mean, even not that many years ago, you didn't always have even fences necessarily around certain areas. And that enabled folks to directly access, for instance, a classroom without ever going to the office to check in, things like that, which now are more of an issue.
Yeah, all of our buildings will have perimeter fencing. Most of them have good perimeter fencing now, but there are a few buildings in the district that really need some upgrades in that area. And so there were three buildings listed on the grant that had $43,000, you know, per building for fencing. But one of those buildings, I think it's going to have significantly higher amount. But the grant requires that you do some match from the district. So we will add some funds to that as well to help, you know, pay for some of those improvements, but lots of improvements going in.
And what about your overall funding for the district? You mentioned the legislative number. Do you feel pretty good about the amount of funds you're being given?
Yeah, I think it's great that they moved the funding amount to $10.2 billion instead of where they started, which was in the mid-9s. I think it was like 9.5. And so getting to 10.2 was really important for districts throughout the state. We are down a tiny bit in enrollment, like not a huge amount, and we've compensated for that. So we feel good about our budget moving forward. But that is always a, you know, a delicate dance where you're trying to make sure you're fiscally prudent and, you know, watching your spending and, you know, trying to maybe pull back a little bit but not affect staffing and student programs. And so we're really mindful of that. But our business manager does an incredible job managing our budget, and I feel really good about that.
Any idea what might contribute to having a little bit of a reduced level of enrollment?
Well, I think it's, you know, there's a lot of things. I think during the pandemic, you know, we had some students go out to homeschool systems. There's been an uptick in private school enrollment throughout the nation. And then just a lower birth rate overall in the state of Oregon and a lower migration rate to the state of Oregon now. And so, you know, enrollment is down across the state and projected to kind of flatten out in the next year or so. But we're not surprised by that lower enrollment. It is kind of a national trend because of birth rate.
More when we come back. Kimberly Kellison, the superintendent of the Winston-Dillard School District, back in a moment on the News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Kimberly Kellison, superintendent of the Winston-Dillard School District. Mid-year check-in of what's going on with that district. I'm curious about how you're doing with filling staff positions. Has that been a particular challenge?
Yeah, over the past few years with, you know, teacher shortages and such, that has been difficult. We are seeing a trend where we're having better pools when we're trying to hire, and so we're really excited about that. We're going to hire a director of instructional services because our longtime director is retiring in June, and we're super excited for him. So we've got a pretty good pool in that group, and so we're hoping that that is an upward trend, that we're going to see increased teacher participation in our pools, our hiring pools, and we're doing some collaborative work with UCC and other groups on trying to really grow your own teachers, and so that's been some powerful work.
And now, whether it's teachers or aides or other types of staff, is there a particular area that seems harder to fill than others?
I think actually the hardest positions to fill are transportation, but we partner with First Student. And so those have been really difficult to fill, and the First Student is constantly on top of that, trying to keep those positions filled. But that seems to be the biggest challenge for us would be transportation.
Now, you're concerned as you kind of look down the road about the lack of people getting into education to be teachers via a college degree program?
I am concerned about that, although I got an email from Western Oregon the other day, and they have 300 applicants for their elementary entrance, you know, for four-year program. So I thought that was a great amount in their pool to draw from. They won't accept all the students probably, but that was a much higher number than we'd been hearing, so that's good news. I'm hoping that, you know, upward trends in salary and different funding models that they're talking about at the state will enable us to, you know, pay people better and keep improving what we're doing, because retaining our amazing employees is one of my first priorities.
And of course, during the pandemic, some people stepped out of their career, education or otherwise, and if they were able to retire sooner, perhaps you had some of that. And what is the, as you're trying to attract teachers to the area, is there a challenge with being in an especially rural place as well?
Well, I think we're in a unique situation because we're close to Roseburg, so we're kind of rural, but I think we have a good, you know, regional area around here that has good support for people and good services. So I think that, you know, we're rural, but I think we're still close enough to a large city that, you know, that's an exciting thing for people. We've got a four-day school week, although we do work 14 Fridays throughout the year learning and leading together, and that's really exciting work that teachers get to do on those Fridays, and I think that that helps move them forward in their practice.
Now, for you, this was probably a new thing when you came to the district a few years ago to have a four-day week.
I was always on a five-day school week. Yeah, I've never been on a four-day. And although as superintendent, your fifth day gets filled up frequently, but it is nice to be able to take that time. And it's nice for our families. They can use that for appointments and different things. And so we do have to be really mindful of how we schedule our time in the district to make sure that, you know, we're maximizing the effectiveness of our master schedule, because that's really important with minutes in the classroom.
Is there any downside applied to kids being out of the classroom for 3 days?
I think there's all, the more we could have them, the better. I think if we could keep them 7 days a week, that would be fabulous, but I don't think that's ever going to happen. I don't know that there's a huge difference between a 4 day and a 5 day week, but it does come down to minutes. And so, we try to maximize those, and our day is a little bit longer on those 4 days that we're in school.
Are you working with Umpqua Community College on things like dual credits or special programs that you have that can lead to a program at UCC?
Yeah, they have some really cool programs. They have a Friday Academy this year, which I think is just an amazing opportunity for kids. They can take a CNA program. They can take forestry classes, computer classes. And because we don't have class on Friday, our kids really take advantage of that. So that's a really great partnership with them. It's really affordable, and it's a really wonderful system for kids to get their feet wet with college. It's great.
Do you feel like you're going to have more collaboration with UCC in other programs?
Yeah, I do. UCC is being really creative about what they're, trying to offer our students. Their president came to our superintendent meeting this week and shared some new programs with us and took some feedback of things they may offer. And so they're still working through the logistics of that. But I think they're always trying to think about how to support students and what does business and industry need in Douglas County. And I think they do a fantastic job connecting with us and really keeping us up to date on what they're working on.
Let me back up. You mentioned earlier about growing your own teachers. Talk more about what's kind of involved in that.
Yeah, that's a grant program, and it allows teachers to get their associate's degree and then do their four-year work all locally here. A lot of it's digital, and there's some grant funds associated with that, and that's just a really cool program, and it's really important. We also have some tuition assistance for teachers and classified staff in our district if they're trying to add an endorsement or change areas, or we're really proactive about trying to help teachers with that.
Now, if I recall, this is is it third year with the district?
It was just my second year.
Second year. So as you look down the road, do you have any future plans now that you've kind of gotten situated here and really been able to look around and watch things and see what works, maybe what needs to be tweaked a bit? What about ideas you have?
Well, we're talking, about a lot of different things. We've had a real elementary focus the last 2 years with K-5 and early literacy, and we're starting to transition some of those concepts and talk about how ECRI, which is Enhanced Core Reading Instruction that we use at the K-5 level, how can that impact middle school students, and what kind of systems can we, move forward into our K-12 system that will help students at all grades. And so we're talking about some of those things. And, we're always mindful of facilities, like trying to get grants to improve things and, thinking about athletics and what kind of programs we need for kids. And there's a lot going on in the district. My board members are very active. It is Board Member Appreciation Month. And so, they do a lot of amazing things in the county and for Winston School District. And so thank you to them. And, they serve on a variety of committees for us, which is really great. And so, we have a long-range facilities committee, and they're looking at things in the district, just trying to stay on top of all that.
And talk about other projects the board is involved in, maybe in particular this year.
We're doing some board governance training this year, which is really important. So we just took a roles and responsibilities class from Vince Adams from OSBA, and that really helps us define our roles and our partnership together, because our board is and superintendent is like a six-person team. And, we try to speak with a collective voice and give vision and direction to the district. And so, I think it's really awesome that they're willing to take on those extra duties and attend, conferences in Portland. I just took Lorna Quimby to Portland, and we were at the OSBA conference for several days, and we learned some really great things about not just about being board members or superintendents, but also about learning and academics. And that was a really great conference. So they're a very active group.
And what's an average day for you like?
Well, it's super superintendent, your most important priority is the health and student safety. And every day is different for a superintendent. You have to prioritize your time. Like it's really, sometimes there are emergencies that you have to drop everything and go deal with. But my priority every day is to get into buildings and interact with students and to attend athletic events and to be really involved in my community, because I think that's how you understand the heartbeat of the community when you're out there and you're active.
And if there's one thing in the world of education you could change, what would it be?
Oh, I would change some of the dynamics of poverty and things that impact our students so much. I really feel for our kids that are in poverty and, just trying to support students so that they can have high academic growth and, full tummies. And, we want kids to have a really good, safe, fun experience at Winston-Dillard. And, that's our first priority. And if I could eliminate anything, I would eliminate poverty from our situation, because, that just is so hard on our families. But we do our best to help them with everything they need.
Superintendent Kimberly Kellison of the Winston-Dillard School District, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle. Take care of yourself.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.